folks, what is going on? The 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Eddie Greer III here for another episode of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. You guys wondering where I've been at? I'll get to that here in just a moment. The 3Y NASCAR podcast, get it wherever you find your podcast. It has been a minute since... Well, actually, you know what? It's been a while since I posted nationally to you guys, and I'll give that update here in just a second. Of course, the 3Y NASCAR podcast, we are down to the Elite Eight, the round of eight in these NASCAR playoffs for the 2021 NASCAR season, Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and, of course, the Cup Series, three best divisions of all of motorsports. I'm here with you guys on this rainy morning. I'm recording this on this rainy morning here. lost the train of thought here. October 13th, 2021. And hopefully, this episodes I'm planning on doing will be up later on this week for you guys. To kind of get you guys, kind of make up for what's been going on around on my end. So, here real quick, obviously, before I talk a couple of things here with you guys. Obviously, in the last 2 weeks, I did record an episode of the podcast, but unfortunately, technical issues with my computer that I've uploaded, you know, some of these things, or at least all of my recordings to the podcast have not gone uploaded because of a hard drive issue. So I'm having to try to resolve all of that. All that jazz and things like that. So, and on top of that, having to replace a small item on my recording set as well. So, yeah, it's been a little frustrating. I did record two episodes though of the podcast, but they have not gone up yet due to that. But got everything I need. So, hopefully, I mean, we'll just have to see what happens here. Obviously, later on this week when I will post all these episodes. I got a busy weekend ahead of me, really busy the next 2 weekends anyways, with, of course, doing a Kansas City Marathon this Saturday, and then, of course, obviously, I will be attending all the races in KC next week, and that includes the ARCA race as well. I'm definitely pumped up for that, and we already have a guest that will be on with me pre and post Kansas as we're down to it. The Elite Eight, folks, cannot believe it. Eight drivers, obviously. The round of 12 came to a close, and what a wacky race that was for the Cup races. I'm just going to focus serially on the Cup Series here for you guys here today on this edition of the podcast. But, yeah, so obviously it's been a while, and... The last time I talked to you guys was before Talladega. Obviously, I'm going to do this again. I'm not going to do it one more time, obviously, because with this technology, it's been really a pain in the ass the last couple weeks, including at work, having to deal with all that. So I apologize. I'm unloading you guys a little bit. So it's been really frustrating. Know that I have recorded, but I have technical issues on my end. So I'm just going to have to figure things out. And hopefully by the time I record these episodes, there's going to be multiple episodes this week of the podcast. So make sure you be on the lookout. I'm not going to post it on Twitter yet until I know they're going to be up on the side of, you know, for you guys to enjoy and listen to, obviously. So I know people have been wondering. Some people have been wondering about the podcast, what's been going happening. So that is why. On top of that, obviously, Bubba Wallace making history a couple weeks ago. Obviously, I was not able to watch the race due to people because of the whole weather situation. A few weeks ago, moving it to a Monday, Bubba Wallace putting himself in the right spot at the right time. And that's what Daytona Talladega is all about. Obviously, we saw it. You know, this, you know, early this year with Michael McDowell, you've put yourself in a position that, hey, you have an opportunity to win the race. You put yourself in a position at the end of the race to win a race. You execute the plan. You get it done, right? So I don't know what other folks people's beefs are with that. Obviously, I know I'm going a couple weeks ago, but I just wanted to bring that to attention because yes, as I stated on the Three Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, right? I'm obviously an African American who has done this podcast for quite a while now. Really, actually, for the last several years before it went on the iTunes and Spotify stuff. So I wanted to talk about that again before moving forward and the way my system is set up here. We just have to see. But yeah, I mean, Bubba Wallace, I mean, yes, you know, he came to the track that where everything, the drama happened last year, obviously. And then, you know, the comeback at the track that it all happened and then deliver, obviously, 23-11's first win in its history, big for this organization. And I called out this organization. You know, they were getting outran by Trackhouse Racing early on in the year. I've had a couple of guys on a podcast and could have another one as well next week as well. So in between the next 2 weeks, you're going to get a lot of good stuff. Hopefully, cross my fingers, hopefully for you guys to listen to here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EJ3. But yeah, I mean, Bo Wallace making history, becoming the first black driver to win a NASCAR Cup race. It's obviously the only person to do that was Wendell Scott. You got to go back to the early 60s, 1963, December 1st, 1963 to be exact, when that took place. And obviously I'm doing this off memory because I did record an episode prior to the roll and it did not get uploaded at all. It was really good. It was really, really good, seriously. And then computer stuff had to happen and then I'm trying to figure things out on the fly. So if you've got, again, I'm restating the fact that if you've been looking for episodes of this podcast, that is why. I've been dealing with some technical issues lately here and trying to piece together here as we're coming to the end of the 2021 season, trying to get to the finish here and post some more good content. So I know I got some good content waiting in the wings here. Just a matter of fact, trying to upload the stupid thing on the internet. So, but I know I'm bouncing off the walls here. From last night, obviously, I know I'm bouncing all over the place. But the Atlanta Braves going back to the National League Championship Series. Hell yeah. For the second straight year in a row. I will touch base on that to close out the show. Obviously, there's also the diversity program was to have their awards reception as well. So I definitely want to touch base on that. So like I said, this is just a crap ton to get to in a good sense of way. And I'm going to try something here and hopefully it will work out for you guys to listen to this content here leading up to the opener, the round of eight. I cannot, again, it's already here, the round of eight. And again, the Roval was something else. let me tell you, quickly for thoughts on that. Well, I'll probably have some more thoughts later on in the week, but that was just something else, you know. You know, a crapshoot race, the Bank of America Roval 400. It was something. Obviously, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick renew their rivalry a little bit thanks to Harvick. You know, all that he did. And I tweeted this out on Sunday, last Sunday, that, you know, if you're going to do it, you better make sure you take him all the way out. And Kevin Harvick did not do that all, and we have not. This is like the first. This is like the second or third time that we've seen somebody with major damage finish in a good spot. And speaking of Braves, obviously big freight Braves fan Chase Elliott, reigning series champ, gets in by plenty thanks to Kevin Harvick, obviously ramming it into the heartburn turn one, I'm gonna call it, ramming it into the wall. And he was done. And who knows whether Chase Elliott would have retaliated on Harvick or not on that season. But everybody says that it's over with. Just because Harvick's out of the playoffs, you know, it doesn't mean it's over. And I got a notification late last night. It was late in the game to the Braves-Brewers game 4. that NASCAR is planning on talking to these guys. Now, obviously, you got to go back to the Matt Kenseth of Joey Logano situation, which I enjoyed because let's face it, because I was there again. This feud with the 22 and the 20, talking about Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano, right? And this all started in Kansas. I was there. I witnessed it in person a few years ago. It's been I think it was the championship season for Martin Truex. No, it's not, because I think he was still with Ferrantaroo. Maybe it was probably the year before that. But anyways, going back to that moment there with Logano Kenseth going into turn one there. I believe it was Logano spinning out Kenseth there. And then the feud just kept building and building. From there was some chit-chatter at Talladega after that. And then everything just escalated in the round of eight, where a potential ticket to the championship four is on the table. And then obviously Matt Kenseth, obviously he had issues early in the race or something like that, if I recall. And then obviously he was waiting for Logano to come around. And, you know, the rest is history from there. So NASCAR's planning on talking to these guys, and Kevin Harvick, you gotta be just disappointed that you had your golden opportunity there, you took it, you swung, Elliott hit the wall. Obviously, he did not hit the front end of his car, he hit the back end of his car there, in which obviously he hit the wall. Oh, I thought Chase Elliott was done. There's no damn way. Let's just face it, let's be honest. I thought Chase Elliott was done from that point on. And then again, the resiliency of that 9 team, they continue to battle, and I believe they ended up finishing in the top 12 somewhere in there. And Harvick, meanwhile, had to play defense, and that it got really hairy there late in the race there with four contenders there. Truex was in the middle of all that. Bell, Harvick there. Harvick was going backwards. Meanwhile, Chase Elliott was going forward, and Chase Elliott was running him down, and it would have been interesting, popcorn and everything, to see what Chase Elliott would have done right there if he got past Truex and Bell, because he had to get past them. And then obviously Harvick there, I think he was playing defensive driver there. They're trying not that. That would have been something then, because obviously that earlier contact early in the race there, I think Chase Elliott would have made more contact with Harvick there. But just because Harvick isn't out of the playoffs don't mean nothing. And I mean, and obviously Kyle Busch has something to say about Harvick too, which I can get into all that later on this week. But you know, just focusing on this situation here, Chase Elliott still in the playoffs with a chance to get back to the championship four to defend, while Harvick has to sit on the outside looking in and just race for pride. And by the way, Kevin Harvick, all that you did, didn't do a damn thing. Chase Elliott's still in the playoffs, and you're going home pretty much with that. But interested, I want to be on the fly on the wall to see what that conversation is like between those two. Again, I would have been a fly on the wall to see what they were doing talking to Ninehaler the night of Bristol when this all started. So I know, everybody said it's over and whatnot. I don't think so. And even if NASCAR just talks to these guys, I don't think so. I don't think it's over on Harvick's end, because he didn't give a simplified answer to what he was doing there. Obviously, he took a swing and he hit it hard. He hit it well all the way to the warning track. And then in baseball terms, it fell short right at the tracks where I'm going to throw in Gilmore Heredia, the backup center fielder for the Braves, makes a catch on it. That's what it sounds like. So all that's what you did, taking Elliott out. You had your shot. Obviously, you waited to the important time, the critical most time in the playoffs to do it. You took him. You know, he spun, hit the wall, and then everything else. It felt like, this felt like Watkins Glen from a Chase Elliott standpoint, because no, he didn't get in the wreck, but he had to rally from the back of the field. I think he was caught speeding or did something happened on pit road and he flew back through the field and finished second. That's what exactly what happened in this role. For this case, he was involved in a serious wreck. This could have been huge. This could have been devastating for this 9 team. But obviously, if you're a Chase Elliott fan, a Braves fan, you got to both best of both worlds. Chase Elliott advances, Braves advance. So I'm happy about the Braves standpoint too, and I'm happy about the Mark Truex Jr. as well, despite what happened with the damn Rick Racing car. We'll step aside here. We'll take a short break here, and I'm going to get into that here after this.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
EG3, hopefully you can, wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and more. It has been a couple weeks since I last posted on there or uploaded episodes on there, because I had recorded the last 2 weeks, and unfortunately I've had issues getting content up due to a missing item on my audiobook. And then having to try to replace that. So hopefully I'm trying to get that resolved. So hopefully I'm doing multiple episodes this week as well. And I got a couple of guest interviews too. So this is coming at a bad time for me. So hopefully I will have something going here. Hopefully I'll work on these this weekend before I head out of town. These will be uploaded, so you will listen to them on multiple days here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. It's a Roval episode. Might be the first to pop up here as I'm trying out my new thing. So it looks good. Everything feels good. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of feels good, obviously, Mark Trish Jr. getting to a round of 8 where he knows that this is a good set of tracks for him. Obviously, you know, his situation could have been a lot worse too, because that, I don't know what was that right there with... with that race car. Obviously, you know, anything can happen in these races. Anything can happen in the postseason, whether it's NASCAR, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, things like that. But I don't know what's that. But yeah, that car was absolute garbage. We're lucky to be in this round of 8. And considering the situation, the damn Rick Racing car, you know, I don't know what he was thinking. I think it was Josh Berlicki. I know it was a 50-something on that car, and I know the Loose Lugs podcast made fun specifically on this team every year, and we got a piece of it last weekend as well. Not very happy about the situation. Obviously, you got to know the situation of... you have to know the situation. Obviously, you're racing a playoff driver, and I don't know. Obviously, a good friend of mine, a part of the Truex Nation chat, the leader, kind of call her the leader of the group. She tweeted me when I tweeted, why did Mark Truex go to the back of the field that late when points on the line there? And he suffered damage somewhere. But anyways, turning it back around, there's a lot that's happened. There's a lot of things that happened in this topsy-turvy race that I don't think I really enjoyed the race, obviously, because my guy is trying to get into the championship. Well, move on, try to transfer him to the next round. This is worse than Talladega. If I want to be blunt with everything that happened out on the Charlotte Roval, but, you know, you got to know the situation. And I don't know who the spotter was on that car. All I know is that fortunately for him, I can't remember his name right now as I'm recording this podcast here on Wednesday morning, October the 13th. But you gotta know the freaking situation. This could have been way worse. And if that's the situation there, that if Harvick's on the racetrack there at that moment in time, we could be in serious trouble. And thankfully, again, I pre-recorded this. I swear to you, I pre-recorded this, and I said this on the pre-recording before it didn't go up to you guys, that stage points was going to be a factor in this thing. You know it is, and for Mark Trichter, it was. And you don't get those 12 stage points, you're out. And that, I'm pretty sure Trish Nation would be furious. And for that situation to let that go, it's every week now. We expect it. Rick Ware Racing Car, whether it's Jabalecki, Cody Ware, Garrett Smithley. And actually, I have that name pulled up now. Let me scroll down on here for a minute, on this video for a minute. But it was Cody Ware, Josh Jabalecki, Garrett Smithley. You got another damn situation of what's going on here. Let's see. Joey Hand, there you go. I got you, Joey Hand. Joey Hand, you got another situation, what's going on. Spotter's got no situation going on. I put half the blame on him too. Taking out a plow driver, unacceptable, late. And this could have been big. This could have been big implications of being eliminated instead of going on to the round of eight. So that was a dumb decision there on that fact. You ain't racing for nothing. And you decided you don't know how to drive. This is the first time I called his name this season. I don't know where he's from or whatnot, but that was pretty stupid. That I'm going pretty hard this morning. So, but you know, you're pretty lucky that Truex is in, and I don't know what James Small was thinking, but that car was absolute trash. So I mean, we all expected Truex to be a contender running up front with the Kyle Larson. There, Joel, by the way, I'm over 20 minutes into this episode, and I haven't even mentioned who won this race. Oh, by the way, Kyle Larson rallied back, and at one point, stunner, he was outside looking in. Kyle Larson, all that winning he's done this year in 2021, all that winning he's done, and next thing you know, he has a small alternate issue. He's outside looking in. Unbelievable, but Riley's back, come from high effort, and wins another road course race. He's the first driver to do that, win three road courses in a season, in a year, which could be the five cars team. If Chase Elliott, I know I'm going way ahead of the wires here, but if Chase Elliott were to get back to Championship 4, he's going to have to race his teammate to do it. So I know Chase Denine was very dominant in last year's championship four race, but if Chase is gonna, if he gets back to the championship race, you know, he's gonna have his hands full with that, with his teammate. That is for sure, because he and Kyle Larson are the only two Hendrick Motorsports cars left, because William Byron and Alex Bowman eliminated themselves or got eliminated last weekend. It's the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Eddie Gritter Third here, recording on a Wednesday morning, October 13th, 2021. This will be out hopefully at some point this week, because I'm planning on doing at least two more episodes. So, and I might even do an episode before the race. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm having issues getting everything to upload. So that is why I'm having my issues with that. So everything has been recorded. I recorded the last two weeks, but for whatever reason, I've had trouble getting things to load. So I have having to resolve some technical issues. Hopefully, this will do it. But I'm holding my breath, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, going back to William Byron real quick. Obviously, I already mentioned three drivers who got eliminated. The other one, actually, I mentioned all of them. Christopher Bell, Kevin Harvick, Alex Bowman, William Byron all got eliminated last weekend. Eight drivers left the Elite Eight. The round of eight begins Texas this weekend. And then obviously a huge weekend for me next weekend. Be going to the racetrack next week. Kansas Speedway, cannot wait. And I got a guest already planned for that weekend and then after that as well. So I'll make sure I touch base with him here in the next couple of days. Make sure we're all set for that here in the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. Along with that, obviously, possibly another guest could be popped in there in between all of that. So try to get some good content out there for you guys, and hopefully everything will be resolved when I hopefully get this fixed. But anyways, here, just a few more minutes. I can go on and on, and you know I can, but I'm going to leave it at least 30 plus minutes-ish, kind of locked on episodes here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I listen to the locked on stuff, your team every day, obviously, the Falcons, Braves, Hawks. Yeah, so if whether your team's the Packers, they have all NFL teams. I know they have all the Major League Baseball teams. I'm not sure they have all the hockey teams. I don't know. I know they have Major League Baseball. They have most of the Big 12. I don't know why I have the Kansas State Wildcats on there, but that's a whole nother. I digress. But I want to touch on, and before I get to William Byron here, real quick, before I close out the podcast. As I'm bouncing around here a little bit, the eight drivers, obviously, Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin has moved to the second spot now. Denny Hamlin started outside the transfer position. When we were at 16 drivers, Denny Hamlin started outside of that. No wins whatsoever. He's got two or three wins in these playoffs. I gotta go back and check. I know he has two for sure because he won Vegas. And yeah, he has two wins. Yes, he has two wins. He won the opener at Darlington, holding off Kyle Larson, the video game move. And then he was absolutely dominant at Vegas. So he all of a sudden, and he's got a lot of stage points in these playoffs. And now all of a sudden, here he is in that same spot. We talk about him every year. Being finally trying to get that elusive championship, he's right there now in the second spot. You have Martin Truex Jr. now bounced to third. And if the championship four will actually be decided this weekend, Ryan Blaney will be a part of that championship four. So that is your four guys right now. And it looks like, obviously, you're gonna have to win to get yourself in. Kyle Larson, even if he does not win, he's a walk-in. He's an absolute walk-in to get in to the championship four. I just know he pretty much kind of like Truex, in 17 or 18 there with the lead he had. But this is much more bigger than Truex has right now. So you're basically, I disagree. You're gonna have to win to get yourself in, because Kyle Larson, even if he doesn't win, he's a lock-in on points. You're going to have to win to get yourself in the playoffs, in the championship four. So that's that. And obviously, Kyle Busch starts out outside looking in. He's like a point out to Chase Elliott's two. And then Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, the Penske duo, brings up the rears. And obviously, right now, Blaney is in, but it is really tight after all that. So you have a bad race, you're pretty much done unless you go out and win one of these next two races, whether that's Kansas or Martinsville. And everybody's talking about Martinsville. Oh boy. And well, by the way, speaking of special guests, I'm hoping to have a possible returning to the show back on here to talk about that too. So like I said, there's a lot going on here for the planning for this podcast. Hopefully the execution will work out. We got to the next up. But anyways, that is your eight guys going for four spots beginning this weekend at Texas there. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, you win, you advance to the championship four race in Phoenix in a couple weeks after that. This is a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 Eddie. We're here with you guys for a few more minutes on the podcast. Hopefully, these episodes that I record this week will be up later on this week for you guys, for your enjoyment, for you guys to listen to leading up to the opener of the round of eight at Texas. My last point here before I close it down, obviously, a frustrated William Byron after the race. Boy, William Byron, that car was on point all race long, and they had a chance. They had a chance to win. They had a chance to win this race, obviously. Did they stay out? They pitted. They pitted there. That final pit stop there, they pitted there in that situation. And ran in and got themselves caught up with Tyler Reddick's situation. And Tyler Reddick, goodness gracious, he has been absolutely fantastic. Yes, he's out of the playoffs, but he's been a joy to watch. And he's been a stud all year long, especially on road courses. I didn't really think I underestimated Tyler Reddick, at least on the road course bar. I thought he would struggle on road courses, but the dude is fine. And I can't wait to see what he does next year, obviously. Really close to getting a win. He was right up front with Kyle Larson, Byron, and those guys late in the race there. Putting himself in position, doing what he needed to do to upset Kyle Larson and those guys. But came a little bit attached short there. And William Byron frustrated with him after the race over. Look, I didn't have a problem with Tyler Reddick or being there. I mean, you got to pass him. I mean, what is his generation? He's part of that generation. He's part of that. Now, I might be calling him out for this, but I'm rolling anyways. But he's part of that younger generation that, you know, everything's spoiled headed to you. Yes, you're iRacing phenom, right? And one of my friends on Twitter said, called him out being a fraud. And no lie, being a fraud. And I just don't know what to do with that. I kind of had to sit there and laugh to myself about, I mean, is Tyler Reddick going to pull over in that situation? I don't think so. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that kind of racing that lead. Let's be nice to him because he's in the playoffs and give him a spot. I mean, if Tyler Reddick was not up to speed, not running top three, top four speed up front like he was there, then maybe I'll give you a pass on that, but I don't give you a pass here. I mean, Reddick was up front. He was trying to run the five down, and these guys were racing hard. The instant there, and William Byron got pissy and called him out saying that was a lack of awareness. I don't think that was lack of awareness there. I disagree with that. Lack of awareness was that damn Joey Hand not being wearing what you're doing. Almost taking out a playoff driver and literally out of the playoffs. That's a lack of awareness right there. But that's not lack of awareness with Tyler Reddick. Reddick was going up there hungry, trying to get his first cup win. And, I mean, Tyler Reddick apologized for it, but I think there was no need to apologize whatsoever for that situation whatsoever. I mean, if it's any fault, it's William Byron's. I mean, you pushed it, you put it. Even at some point he must have hit the wall because the NBC broadcast so that should he had front end damage. So apparently he pushed it too hard and he hit the wall. So apparently that's Tyler Reddick's fault too. I mean, what are you gonna do? So if anything, you gotta be mad at yourself because you put yourself in that position to win this race. You had it in the bag, right? And the caution comes out. You sided the pit. Your crew chief Rudy Fugel sided the pit, and you know, the rest is history from there. So Tyler Reddick is not going to pull over late in the race there when you're trying to get that elusive first win. Obviously, in Tyler Reddick's career, I did not see a problem with that. Obviously, William Byron did, and it's William Byron. It's your fault. Sorry, you know, William Byron fans apologize, but hey, I call what it is, and that just, you know, that's not lack of awareness to me, in my opinion, that's not lack of awareness. That's just fact that that's your fault for not getting past Reddick. That's just hard racing, in my opinion. And Tyler Reddick, and kudos to you for putting on the show, because that car was flying. The car was fat. That wasn't a track position deal there. On that part, and why I'm talking about Tyler Reddick, because he was the non-playoff leading driver finisher. So that's why I'm even talking about him right now, because yes, on this podcast we talk playoff drivers / elimination guys as well. So Tyler Reddick is going to get his cue here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. So no problem with that whatsoever. I have no issues with that at all. It's William Byron's fault. You know, he should have got past. You had a chance on a restart to pass him. You didn't. And you had to fight for it. I mean, what is it with people, whether in different type of spots, you know, trying to get things handed to them. I don't understand that. And that pisses me off to the degree that, you know, why complain about it? If you complain about it, it's your fault. And this is, goes back, and there's, and I want to go back to the picture of something went happen with Bubba and Martin Truex. Those are my guys, man. But I guess it showed on one of the guys that I follow, that follow Tracks Bubba Wallace, that Bubba got pissed off on the radio at Truex for something. Because I know at one part, I know they showed us on a broadcast that Truex was three wide. no pun intended. A three wide shout out. Three wide there with Bo Wallace, and since somebody else was there as well, because Truex was going backwards and struggling with that race car. And Bubba Wallace was trying to get past him, and then but then Truex eventually got past him, and Bubba got mad over the radio. So that's what that conversation's all about there. And that's not the first time Bubba and Martin had this disagreement on the racetrack there this year. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't get it that, you know, these guys hang out with each other off the racetrack, and then when the money comes online, when something goes not according to plan, we want to get pissed off one another. So, you know, it was a universe, right? If I was a NASCAR driver, right, or in the Cup Series, getting ready for races, I'll be only friends with just a couple of guys, not with everybody in the garage. That's just my personality, because, you know, you're not out there. Granted, running a marathon, 10K or 5K, you know, with your buddies, that's one thing. But if you're competitive, you want to beat these guys. And that's my mentality. that is my mentality, right? So I grew up mentality. You don't want to make friends out here. You don't have time for that. And maybe that's part of the thing I'm trying to understand. Yes, these guys are friends. A lot of these guys are friends off the racetrack. But when something goes immediately wrong, we want to make a big deal. Obviously now, this 4-9 saga, I don't think it's over, in my opinion. Because I think if... Obviously, everybody's saying, and I'm right, I'm with everybody. I think if Harvick takes out Elliott, there's going to be repercussions for the four. I'm right there with you on that. But I think Kevin Harvick is going to be a pain in the ass with Chase Elliott all the way through the checkered flag at Phoenix. Whatever Chase Elliott situation is, whether he's trying to finish title or he gets knocked out of the playoffs here the next 3 weeks, we don't know. We're definitely going to find out, that's for sure. I think Kevin Harvick's going to be a fly on the wall, be that bee, and piss the hell out of him. But, you know, so, but, yeah, going back to, circling back to Tyler Reddick's situation here for a closer show. You can't fault Tyler Reddick in that situation. Tyler was being apologetic. He doesn't need to apologize for nothing. If it's anything, apologize. William Byron needs to be pissed off at himself, because he had an opportunity on a restart to pass Reddick. He didn't do it. And he spent, 10, 15 laps trying to get around him, and eventually you wrecked yourself. So I'm sorry. Sorry. Hey, it is what it is. You had your opportunity and you did not get it done. So put a pin on that. But yeah, see, a lot happened in this Cup race, more than halfway at Talladega. So a lot of people were not happy with the role after this race, because of the fact that I know a couple of my good buddies, obviously Dalton Good, aka Kyle Busch fan, Kyle Busch still in it, Karate Nation, that, you know, he won the original Cup race back on the actual oval track. So a lot of people that I've read comments about this race want the original Charlotte track to get back. So I can see why. I mean, it got sloppy. Let's just put it this way. It got sloppy late, and it could cost some guys. It could have cost, obviously, it didn't cost Truex, because he's moving on to the next round, but it could have been big, and I would have been absolutely upset if that would happen. So, you know, going back to lack of awareness with the Joey Hans situation and Rick Ware Racing. Gotta know what you're doing out on the racetrack. But, you know, it seems like every week, if I were a betting man, I would put 100 down that some caution by one of these Rick Ware Racing cars. Caution is going to come out for the rest of the year, because it seems like every week it happens, and I'll put 100 on it if I was a betting man. And that's probably a safe bet, because that's probably a safe bet, 100 that, you know, or a Rick Racing car is going to cost caution from here on out. So do not be surprised. So I mean, I'm not gonna give you guys $100, because that's just, if I was a betting man, $100 saying that our Rick Racing car, don't matter who it is. I mentioned those drivers already on this episode tonight or this morning, where it's calmed down outside the rain a little bit. That Rick Racing car is going to cause a caution. And might play even a factor in one of these things. If you're one of those guys that are battling, trying to get a spot in the Championship Four, or in the Championship Four, you do not want that to be the case there, because I'll be pissed if that would happen. But it did not. And Kyle Larson, oh, by the way, big rally bat, Hendrick Motorsports, they had a lot of issues. Mechanical issues there, but somehow they overcame all that. Bowman struggled with all that. William Byron's probably the only car not to deal with those issues, because he was just flying through the field. And next thing you know, he was leading. So let's take a look at lap leaders here. Obviously, Kyle Larson, your race winner, led 8 laps. Again, the comeback in this race. And yes, I'm going to call it a comeback. Somebody said on Twitter that don't call it a comeback. If that's not a comeback, I don't know what it is. But Kyle Larson, I believe it was stage 2, was on the outside looking in. Who would have said that? Nobody predicted that. With all the points that he's gathered throughout the year and in these playoffs, 2021 playoffs, all that points. And next thing you know, I had to do a double take on the leaderboard on the cut line. NBC was showing that oh, damn, Kyle Larson, 8 points out of the transfer spot. Damn! After all what he's done, what he's been through this year, all this winning he's been doing in the Cup Series this year, yeah. So there's that. Kyle Larson, it is a comeback for him. 8 laps. Chris Buescher, another shout out here. I know Chris Buescher, Ross Fenwick Racing showing up here. Led a lap. He finished 3rd in this race today. Or not today, last weekend at Charlotte. And he was up there at one point. Yeah, like I said, he led 1 lap, but he was up there fighting for a good spot. So good job for him there. Kyle Busch led 22 laps. Denny Hamlin led 25. Kyle Busch finished 4th. Denny Hamlin finished 5th. Christopher Bell got eliminated, finished 8th. Ryan Blaney led 10 laps. He finished 9th. In the Bank of America Robo 400. William Byron led the most laps and did not capitalize. So it goes back to my whole point today on this podcast that, hey, you know, should have got by Reddick, and we could be talking about the whole different situation, because if that were to happen, he could have eliminated Truex there in that spot. Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying that. So given what Mark Trish here was fortunately got caught up in the middle of the end of the race there, I don't really agree with James Small's call. But again, that's another podcast for another day. William Byron, 3 laps eliminated. Chase Elliott led 2 laps in the rally back from being punted into the wall by Harvick there. Harvick, all that hard work he did was for naught. In this case, Harvick got eliminated. Could not avoid turn 1. Ran into the wall. Heavy damage. He's out of the playoffs there on that end. Bubba Wallace, by the way, coming off his first victory in the Cup Series ever. Finished 14th. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Going down here, Brad Keselowski, 20th position for him. He's kind of been in and out of these playoffs, but he's fortunate to be moving on here. And I believe the last one is left here is, no, second to last is Mark Trish Jr. Obviously, I expected more, obviously, from the team, obviously. Was very disappointed in this. A second reason to be disappointed because of the handling of that race car. I thought he'd be much better than that, way better than that. And I don't know what to expect these next three races. So it's a race-to-race thing. So I thought he was going to be a player in this thing. But it was all for naught because that car, it was just horrible. Horrible to watch. But somehow that ill-headed race car got critical stage points. And hey, Truex Nation, we're moving on. And then obviously Harvick to kind of put a pin on the cut playoff drivers here. Kevin Harvick, obviously, already talked about him throughout the episode tonight on a 3-wide NASCAR Pocket 83. 33rd and out of playoffs, and we'll see what Harvick does because he's been an irritating bee in years of Chase Elliott, even though Chase Elliott had a smart-ass comment to Kevin Harvick. Wish him a merry off-season and a Merry Christmas or something to the lines of that, which had Chase Elliott fans and other folks rolling on Twitter. So Chase threw a comment right at Harvick and Kyle Busch, which I'm going to explain later on this week on the podcast, has another thing to say about Harvick. So this train about Kevin Harvick, the hate on Kevin Harvick continues in these playoffs, and Harvick, even though Harvick's eliminated, he's not going anywhere, obviously, but he can definitely have a say, but we'll see what NASCAR says about that. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Once again, get it wherever you get your podcast. Hopefully, cross my fingers. Hopefully, everything that I have adjusted, that I fixed at this point will work. You know, I'll get these episodes loaded for you guys here before I head out to Kansas City this weekend. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, Amazon, and more. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast here in the middle of October, pretty much, and heading into the round of 8, Texas, Kansas, and Martinsville, where we're going to decide in the Cup Series, anyways, our first ticket here coming up. Obviously, it relates to the fact with all the points that Larson has gained to this point, I think, yeah, you're pretty much going to have to win to get in. You're not going to punch your way in. Joey Logano, I just agree with Joey Logano. Logano, you're going to have to win. Get yourself in. That with what's going on, they've maximized their opportunities, but I disagree with him on this. You're going to have to win to get yourself in these playoffs, in the Championship 4. That's what's going to have to take, because even if, like I said again, even if Kevin Harvick, you out of the playoffs. If Kyle Larson does not win in this round, which I got a feeling he's going to win again in this round, but it's a matter of when. I think he's going to win either Texas or even Kansas next week. even if he does not win, he's going to get himself in because of all the points that he's gathered throughout the year. He's a walk-in to get into the Championship 4. Even if he misses a race, he's a lock to get into the Championship 4 because of that team's running. Cliff Daniels, he's done a tremendous job with that 5 team. So you're going to have to win to get in. You're not going to point your way in. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to win to get in, and you have a bad race, you're out. Yeah, that's what it is, unless you can rally back and steal Kansas like he did last year, talking about Logano. Or 2 years ago. It was last year. Yeah, it was last year. Joey Logano stole Kansas. And that's actually a good point, because dude, he was nowhere fast early in the race, and then all of a sudden you get track position and everything just changes. And Harvick was fast all race long, and then you can't get by him. I said that last year, so yeah, Joey Logano, you're not gonna point your way in, dog. I'm sorry. you're not. Nobody's pointing their way in. You're gonna have to win the race. You're gonna have to win one of these three races to get locked in to Championship 4, and hope that Kyle Larson stumbles somewhere in there. But I don't see him stumbling. I see him. I see him winning one of these races, Texas or Kansas next week. I don't see Larson winning Martinsville. Yeah. I'm going on a little limb here. I don't see him winning Martinsville. I see him winning one of the next two races to get himself officially locked in, but he's going to be a shoo-in. Everybody else pretty much fighting for the last three spots of the championship four. So that's kind of going on a little prediction already here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. So that's why I'm going to leave it on that. So pretty much here it is, folks. Four spots, one pretty much sold up. Texas Cup Series. We'll be back later on this week here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. But congratulations to Kyle Larson for his seventh victory of the Bank of America 400. This has been another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3.
With EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.